The distinguishing marks of a work of the Spirit of God, applied to that uncommon operation that has lately appeared on the minds of the people of New England with a particular consideration of the extraordinary circumstances with which this work is attended, M.R. Cooper's preface to the reader. There are several dispensations, or days of grace, which the Church of God has been under from the beginning of time. There is that under the patriarchs, that under the law of Moses, and there is that of the gospel of Jesus Christ, under which we now are. This is the brightest day that ever shone, and exceeds the other, for peculiar advantages. To us who are so happy as to live under the evangelical dispensation, may those words of our Savior be directed, which he spake to his disciples, when he was first setting up the Messiah's kingdom in the world, and gospel light and power begin to spread abroad, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you, that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." The Mosaic dispensation, though darkened with types and figures, yet far exceeded the former, but the gospel dispensation so much exceeds in glory, that it eclipses the glory of the legal, as the stars disappear when the sun ariseth, and goeth forth in his strength. And the chief thing that renders the gospel so glorious is, that it is the ministration of the Spirit. Under the preaching of it, the Holy Spirit was to be poured out in more plentiful measures. Not only in miraculous gifts, as in the first times of the gospel, but in his internal saving operations, accompanying the outward ministry, to produce numerous conversions to Christ, and give spiritual life to souls that were before dead in trespasses and sins, and so prepare them for eternal life. Thus the Apostle speaks, when he runs a comparison between the Old Testament and the New, the law of Moses and the gospel of Jesus Christ, "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? This blessed time of the gospel hath several other denominations, which may raise our esteem and value for it. It is called by the evangelical prophet, the acceptable year of the Lord. Or, as it may be read, the year of liking, or of benevolence, or of the goodwill of the Lord. Because it would be the special period in which he would display his grace and favor, in an extraordinary manner, and deal out spiritual blessings with a full and liberal hand. It is also styled by our Savior, the regeneration, which may refer not only to that glorious restitution of all things, which is looked for at the close of the Christian dispensation, but to the renewing work of grace in particular souls, carried on from the beginning to the end of it. But few were renewed and sanctified under the former dispensations, compared with the instances of the grace of God in gospel times. Such numbers were brought into the gospel church when it was first set up, as to give occasion for that pleasing admiring question, which was indeed a prophecy of it, "Who are these that fly as a cloud, and as the doves to their windows?" Then the power of the divine Spirit so accompanied the ministry of the word, as that thousands were converted under one sermon. But notwithstanding this large effusion of the Spirit, when gospel light first dawned upon the world, that pleasant spring of religion which then appeared on the face of the earth, there was a gradual withdrawing of his saving light and influences. And so the gospel came to be less successful, and the state of Christianity withered in one place and another. Indeed, at the time of the Reformation from Popery, when gospel light broke in upon the church, and dispelled the clouds of anti-Christian darkness that covered it, the power of divine grace so accompanied the preaching of the word, as that it had admirable success in the conversion and edification of souls. And the blessed fruits thereof appeared in the hearts and lives of its professors. That was one of the days of the Son of Man, on which the exalted Redeemer rode forth, in his glory and majesty, on the white horse of the pure gospel, conquering and to conquer. And the bow in his hand, like that of Jonathan, returned not empty. But what a dead and barren time has it now been, for a great while, with all the churches of the Reformation. The golden showers have been restrained, the influences of the Spirit suspended. And the consequence has been, that the gospel has not had any eminent success. Conversions have been rare and dubious. Few sons and daughters have been born to God. and the hearts of Christians not so quickened, warmed, and refreshed under the ordinances, as they have been. That this has been the sad state of religion among us in this land, for many years except one or two distinguished places, which have at times been visited with a shower of mercy, while other towns and churches have not been rained upon, will be acknowledged by all who have spiritual senses exercised, as it has been lamented by faithful ministers and serious Christians. Accordingly, it has been a constant petition in our public prayers, from Sabbath to Sabbath, that God would pour out His Spirit upon us, and revive His work in the midst of the years. And besides our annual fast days appointed by government, most of the churches have set apart days, wherein to seek the Lord by prayer and fasting, that He would come and rain down righteousness upon us. And now, behold, the Lord whom we have sought, has suddenly come to His temple. The dispensation or grace we are now under, is certainly such as neither we nor our fathers have seen. And in some circumstances so wonderful, that I believe there has not been the like since the extraordinary pouring out of the Spirit immediately after our Lord's ascension. The apostolical times seem to have returned upon us such a display has there been of the power and grace of the Divine Spirit in the assemblies of His people, and such testimonies has He given to the word of the gospel. I remember a remarkable passage of the late Reverend and learned M. R. Howe, which I think it may be worthwhile to transcribe here. It is in his discourse concerning the prosperous state of the Christian Church before the end of time, by a plentiful effusion of the Holy Spirit, page 80. In such a time, says he, when the Spirit shall be poured forth plentifully, surely ministers shall have their proportionable share. And when such a time as that shall come, I believe you will hear much other kind of sermons, or they will who shall live to such a time than you are wont to do nowadays. Souls will surely be dealt with at another rate. It is plain, says he, too sadly plain, there is a great retraction of the Spirit of God even from us. We know not how to speak living sense into souls. How to get within you our words die in our mouths, or drop and die between you and us. We even faint when we speak. Long experienced and successfulness makes us despond. We speak not as persons that hope to prevail, that expect to make you serious, heavenly, mindful of God, and to walk more like Christians. The methods of alluring and convincing souls, even that some of us have known, are lost from amongst us in a great part. There have been other ways taken than we can tell now how to fall upon, for the mollifying of the obdurate, and the awakening of the secure, and the convincing and persuading of the obstinate, and the winning of the disaffected. Surely there will be a large share that will come even to the part of ministers, when such an effusion of the Spirit shall be, as it is expected that they shall know how to speak to better purpose, with more compassion, with more seriousness, with more authority and allurement, than we now find we can. Agreeable to the just expectation of this great and excellent man, we have found it in this remarkable day. A number of preachers have appeared among us, to whom God has given such a large measure of His Spirit, that we are ready sometimes to apply to them the character given of Barnabas, that he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith. They preach the gospel of the grace of God from place to place, with uncommon zeal and assiduity. The doctrine they insist on, are the doctrine of the Reformation, under the influence whereof the power of godliness so flourished in the last century. The points on which their preaching mainly turns, are those important ones of man's guilt, corruption, and impotence. Supernatural regeneration by the Spirit of God, and free justification by faith in the righteousness of Christ. And the marks of the new birth. The manner of their preaching is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Howbeit, they speak wisdom among them that are perfect. An ardent love to Christ and souls, warms their breasts, and animates their labors. God has made those His ministers active spirits, a flame of fire in His service. And His word in their mouths has been as a fire, and as a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. In most places where they have labored, God has evidently wrought with them, and confirmed the word by signs following. Such a power and presence of God in religious assemblies has not been known since God set up His sanctuary amongst us. He has indeed glorified the house of His glory. This work is truly extraordinary, in respect of its extent. It is more or less in the several provinces that measure many hundred miles on this continent. He sendeth forth his commandment on earth. His word runneth very swiftly. It has entered and spread in some of the most populous towns, the chief places of concourse and business. And, blessed be God, it has visited the seats of learning, both here and in a neighboring colony. Oh, may the Holy Spirit constantly reside in them both, seize our devoted youth, and form them as polished shafts, successfully to fight the Lord's battles against the powers of darkness, when they shall be called out to service. It is extraordinary also with respect to the numbers that have been the subjects of this operation. Stupid sinners have been awakened by hundreds. And the inquiry has been general in some places, what must I do to be saved? I verily believe that in this our metropolis, there were the last winter some thousands under such religious impressions as they never felt before. The work has been remarkable also for the various sorts of persons that have been under its influence. These have been of all ages. Some elderly persons have been snatched as brands out of the burning, made monuments of divine mercy, and born to God, though out of due time. As the apostle speaks in his own case. But here, with us it has lain mostly among the young. Sprightly youth have been made to bow like willows to the Redeemer's scepter, and willingly to subscribe with their own hands to the Lord. And out of the mouths of babes, some little children, has God ordained to himself praise, to still the enemy and the avenger. They have also been of all ranks and degrees. Some of the great and rich, but more of the low and poor, of other countries and nations. Ethiopia has stretched out her hand. Some poor Negroes have, I trust, been brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God of all qualities and conditions. The most ignorant, the foolish thing of the world, babes in knowledge, have been made wise unto salvation, and taught those heavenly truths, which have been hid from the wise and prudent. Some of the learned and knowing among men, have had those things revealed to them of the Father in heaven, which flesh and blood do not teach, and of these, some who had gone into the modern notions, and had no other than the polite religion of the present times, have had their prejudices conquered, their carnal reasonings overcome, and their understandings made to bow to gospel mysteries. They now receive the truth as it is in Jesus, and their faith no longer stands in the wisdom of man but in the power of God. Some of the most rude and disorderly are become regular in their behavior, and sober in all things. The gay and airy are become grave and serious. Some of the greatest sinners have appeared to be turned into real saints. Drunkards have become temperate. Fornicators and adulterers of a chaste conversation. Swearers and profane persons have learned to fear that glorious and fearful name, the Lord their God. And carnal worldlings have been made to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yea, deriders and scoffers at this work and its instruments, have come under its conquering power. Some of this stamp, who have gone to hear the preacher, as some did Paul, what will this babbler say? Have not been able to resist the power and the spirit with which he spake. Have sat trembling under the word, and gone away from it weeping. And afterward did cleave unto the preacher, as Dionysius the Areopagite did unto Paul. Divers instances of this kind have fallen under my knowledge. The virtuous and civil have been convinced that morality is not to be relied on for life. And so excited to seek after the new birth, and a vital union to Jesus Christ by faith. The formal professor likewise has been awakened out of his dead formalities, brought under the power of godliness. Taken off from his false rests, and brought to build his hope only on the mediator's righteousness. At the same time, many of the children of God have been greatly quickened and refreshed. Have been awakened out of the sleeping frames they were fallen into, and excited to give diligence to make their calling and election sure. And have had precious, reviving, and sealing times. Thus extensive and general the divine influence has been at his glorious season. One thing more is worthy of remark. And this is the uniformity of the work. By the accounts I have received in letters, and conversation with ministers and others, who live in different parts of the land where this work is going on, it is the same work that is carried on in one place and another. The method of the Spirit's operation on the minds of the people is the same, though with some variety of circumstances, as is usual at other times and the particular appearances with which this work is attended, that have not been so common at other times, are also much the same. These are indeed objected by many against the work. But though conversion is the same work, in the main strokes of it, wherever it is wrought, yet it seems reasonable to suppose that at an extraordinary season wherein God is pleased to carry on a work of His grace in a more observable and glorious manner, in a way which He would have to be taken notice of by the world. At such a time, I say, it seems reasonable to suppose that there may be some particular appearances in the work of conversion, which are not common at other times, when yet there are true conversions wrought, or some circumstances attending the work may be carried to an unusual degree and height. If it were not thus, the work of the Lord would not be so much regarded and spoken of, and so God would not have so much of the glory of it. Nor would the work itself be like to spread so fast. For God has evidently made use of example and discourse in the carrying of it on. And as to the fruits of this work, which we have been bid so often to wait for, blessed be God. So far as there has been time for observation, they appear to be abiding. I do not mean that none have lost their impressions, or that there are no instances of hypocrisy and apostasy. Scripture and experience lead us to expect these, at such a season. It is to me matter of surprise and thankfulness that as yet there have been no more. But I mean, that a great number of those who have been awakened are still seeking and striving to enter in at the strait gate. The most of those who have been thought to be converted, continue to give evidence of their being new creatures, and seem to cleave to the Lord with full purpose of heart. To be sure, a new face of things continues in this town, though many circumstances concur to render such a work not so observable here as in smaller and distant places. Many things not becoming the profession of the gospel are in a measure reformed. Taverns, dancing schools, and such meetings as have been called assemblies, which have always proved unfriendly to serious godliness, are much less frequented. Many have reduced their dress and apparel, so as to make them look more like the followers of the humble Jesus. And it has been both surprising and pleasant to see how some younger people, and of that sex too which is most fond of such vanities, have put off the bravery of their ornaments, as the effect and indication of their seeking the inward glories of the King's daughter. Religion is now much more the subject of conversation at friends' houses than ever I knew it. The doctrine of grace are espoused and relished. Private religious meetings are greatly multiplied. The public assemblies, especially lectures, are much better attended. And our auditors were never so attentive and serious. There is indeed an extraordinary appetite after the sincere milk of the word. It is more than a 12-month since an evening lecture was set up in this town. There are now several too constantly on Tuesday and Friday evenings. When some of our most capacious houses are well filled with hearers, who by their looks and deportment seem to come to hear that their souls might live, an evening in God's courts is now esteemed better than many elsewhere. There is also great resort to ministers in private. Our hands continue full of work, and many times we have more than we can discourse with distinctly and separately. I have been thus large in particular, that persons at a distance, who are desirous to know the present state of religion here, into whose hands these papers will come, may receive some satisfaction. And now, can any be at a loss to what spirit to ascribe this work? To attribute it, as some do, to the devil, is to make the old serpent like the foolish woman, who plucked down her house with her hands. Our Savior has taught us to argue otherwise in such a case as this. Every kingdom divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how then shall his kingdom stand? That some entertain prejudices against this work, and others revile and reproach it, does not make it look less like a work of God. It would else want one mark of its being so. For the spirit of this world, and the spirit which is of God, are contrary the one to the other. I do not wonder that Satan rages, and shows his rage in some that are under his influence, when his kingdom is so shaken, and his subjects desert him by hundreds, I hope by thousands. The prejudices of some, I make no doubt, are owing to the want of opportunity to be rightly informed, and their having received misrepresentations from abroad. Others may be offended, because they have not experienced anything like such a work in themselves. And if these things be so, they must begin again, and get another foundation laid than that on which they have built. And this is what men are hardly brought to, and others, perhaps, may dislike the present work, because it supports and confirms some principles which they have not yet embraced, and against which such prejudices hang about their minds, as they cannot easily shake off. For it is certain, these fruits do not grow on Armenian ground. I hope none dislike the work, because they have not been used as instruments in it. For if we love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, we shall rejoice to see him increase, though we should decrease. If any are resolutely set to disbelieve this work, to reproach and oppose it, they must be left to the free sovereign power and mercy of God to enlighten and rescue them. These, if they have had opportunity to be rightly informed, I am ready to think, would have been disbelievers and opposers of the miracles and mission of our Savior, had they lived in his days. The malignity which some of them have discovered, to me approaches near to the unpardonable sin. And they had need beware, lest they indeed sin the sin which is unto death, for as I believe it can be committed in these days, as well as in the days of the apostles, so I think persons are now in more danger of committing it than at other times. At least, let them come under the awe of that word, Psalm 28:5. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them, and not build them up. But if any are disposed to receive conviction, have a mind open to light, and are really willing to know of the present work whether it be of God, it is with great satisfaction and pleasure I can recommend to them the following sheets, in which they will find the distinguishing marks of such a work, as they are to be found in the Holy Scriptures, applied to the uncommon operation that has been on the minds of many in this land. Here the matter is tried by the infallible touchstone of the Holy Scriptures, and is weighed in the balance of the sanctuary, with great judgment and impartiality. A performance of this kind is seasonable and necessary. And I desire heartily to bless God, who inclined this his servant to undertake it, and has graciously assisted him in it. The reverend author is known to be a scribe instructed unto the kingdom of heaven. The place where he has been called to exercise his ministry has been famous for experimental religion. And he has had opportunities to observe this work in many places where it has powerfully appeared, and to converse with numbers that have been the subjects of it. These things qualify him for this undertaking above most. His arguments in favor of the work are strongly drawn from Scripture, reason, and experience, and I shall believe every candid, judicious reader will say, he writes very free from an enthusiastic or party spirit. The use of human learning is asserted. A methodical way of preaching, the fruit of study as well as prayer, is recommended. And the exercise of charity in judging others pressed and urged, and those things which are esteemed the blemishes, and are like to be the hindrances of the work, are with great faithfulness cautioned and warned against. Many, I believe, will be thankful for this publication. Those who have already entertained favorable thoughts of this work will be confirmed by it. And the doubting may be convinced and satisfied. But if there are any who cannot after all see the signatures of a divine hand on the work, it is to be hoped they will be prevailed on to spare their censures and stop their oppositions, lest haply they should be found even to fight against God. I have yet several things to say, which I see I must suppress, or I shall go much beyond the limits of a preface, and I fear I need to ask pardon both of the reader and the publishers for the length I have run already. Only I cannot help expressing my wish that those who have been conversant in this work, in one place and another, would transmit accounts of it to such a hand as the reverend author of this discourse, to be compiled into a narrative, like that of the conversions at Northampton, which was published a few years ago. That so the world may know the surprising dispensation, in the beginning, progress, and various circumstances of it. This, I apprehend, would be for the honor of the Holy Spirit, whose work and office has been treated so reproachfully in the Christian world. It would be an open attestation to the divinity of a despised gospel, and it might have a happy effect on the other places, where the sound of this marvelous work would by this means be heard. I cannot but think it would be one of the most useful pieces of church history the people of God are blessed with. Perhaps it would come the nearest to the Acts of the Apostles of anything extant. And all the histories in the world do not come up to that. There we have something as surprising as in the book of Genesis. And a new creation, of another kind, seems to open to our view. But I must forbear. I will only add my prayer, that the worthy author of this discourse may long be continued a burning and shining light in the golden candlestick where Christ has placed him, and from thence diffuse his light through these provinces. That the Divine Spirit, whose cause is here espoused, would accompany this and the other valuable publications of his servant, with his powerful influences. That they may promote the Redeemer's interest, serve the ends of vital religion, and so add to the author's present joy and future crown. Boston, November 20, 1741. W. Cooper.